RadioInfluence.com.
Welcome back to another edition of the MMA Report Podcast. This is the interview edition of the show, and I have got two interviews for you here on this episode of the podcast. Up first, you're going to hear my conversation with Terrence McKinney, who stepped up on short notice to make his UFC debut last weekend, and he only needed 7 seconds to defeat Matt Pervola, and it's actually his second career win in 7 seconds. So I talked to Terrence about everything that happened during fight week and the matchup, what's next. Also get an update on his knee, how he's doing, if that injury is going to keep him out for any length of time. And then you're going to hear my conversation with Arion Zeki, who's going to be a part of Shamrock FC 329 coming up this week there in Missouri. Of course, a couple weeks ago, we had Jesse Finney, CEO of Shamrock FC, on the show to talk about the back-to-back nights of fight cards there put it on. And you hear my conversation with Arion Zeki, who at the end of this interview has a very candid message to Dylan Tolbert, his opponent, coming up here this week at Shamrock FC 329. Of course, as always, appreciate you taking time out of your day to download and listen to this episode of the MMA Report Podcast. Of course, a great way to show your support for the podcast is by leaving a rating and review on the podcasting platform that you are listening to this show on. So let's get right into the interviews. Up first, here's my conversation with Terrence McKinney. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man who only needed 7 seconds to win his UFC debut. I'm guessing that does not get old, Terrence, man. Congratulations on the victory. I was looking at your Tapology page, and, you know, of course, one of the things I always notice with you is you just don't get out of the first round. We spent less than 2 minutes in the cage in your last four fights. But this is actually the second time you've won in 7 seconds. How does this one compare to your one a couple years ago?
This one definitely tops it off because, you know, it's on a big stage in front of a huge crowd. So, like I said, I couldn't ask for a better performance.
I guess I got to ask, man, how's the knee doing?
It's better. I'm still waiting for the MRI results, but the swellings went down and I can still bend it. So the mobility is, like, still all there. So.
Are the doctors kind of giving you some good indication, or are they still kind of in that mindset of like, it's a wait and see at this point?
Well, I haven't heard any calls yet. You know, if it was bad, I think they would have called me already. So, like, I'm kind of happy about that. So hopefully God has a handle and I don't got no serious injury.
So by the time you walked back to the locker room, you picked up your phone. How many missed text messages did you have?
Even till like now, I got like I have over 1,000 something messages on my Insta, like on my phone. I have like 100 and something, and like so many on my Snap. Everything was going crazy for sure.
So it makes me think of when I was scrolling through my Twitter timeline earlier today, and there was this video where they were talking about what type of person are you with your phone? Are you the type of person that you just can't have any of that notification number on your phone? Which that's me. I just can't do it. I have to have zero. Or, you know, but then there's sometimes people say, yeah, I've got like 15,000 unread emails. So where do you lie in this one?
I usually like to answer everything and keep it cleared off. Can't even message everyone back on Insta, but so I'll just give a shout out and tell all my fans I love them because there's just so many messages I can't even get them to them all.
You know, and of course, you know, obviously the storyline with this fight was the fact of, you know, you just come off an LFA main event where you look great there. And I mean, did you even have a chance to celebrate that win?
I didn't get to really celebrate it at all. I had to start cutting weight right away, like pretty much. They called me on Tuesday. I had to fly out right after, and I just fought on Saturday.
So, like, hey, did you step on the scale before saying yes to kind of give yourself an idea of, like, all right, this is how much weight I'm going to have to cut here?
Yeah, I had to see if it was possible, like, because, like, if I was, like, 175, I don't know if I would have been able to do it, but all my weight was still low just because I just fought. So I was like, hell yeah, let's do it.
I know I was listening to another interview you did, and you mentioned about the fact of you were trying to take everything in during fight week, and you've heard so many fighters kind of talk about that with their UFC debut. Like, obviously, outside of fight night, is there something that sticks out to you about fight week?
The sickest thing for me there was the ceremonial weigh-in. It was just had it all singing the Hard Words Race. I was like, damn, this crowd's huge, man. It was crazy.
You know, like obviously you go out there and the quick knockout, like as you visualize the fight during the week, is that a sequence? I'm not saying you saw 7 seconds coming, but in the way the knockout came, is that a sequence you thought would open up for it?
We were drilling all week. We watched this fight because we know his game plan. But yeah, like I said, I thought I was ready to go to war because I know this dude liked to scrap. I thought I was going to at least go to the second round, but I knew like, with the technique and preparation that I had with my coach, Pablo Afonso, I knew we'd be able to get the job done.
So what did Pablo say to you after the fight about your performance?
Oh, man, he was stoked, man. He was proud of me, man. It was just so surreal, like all the happiness, you know, on my mom's face, the tears. It felt so good to finally make my mom proud, you know?
You mentioned about, you know, Matt and the toughness that he brings. And I remember leading up this fight, I guess one of my thoughts I had was because of your wrestling background, would that become any part of the fight? Did you think that Matt was going to try to test your wrestling?
I know he likes to throw hands at first. So like, but if it would have went to the ground, we're ready for it all. I was pretty good shape because I literally just fought. So I was like, I was ready for whatever the fight took. And I feel I could get it done on the ground or standing.
I mentioned the fact that these last 4 fights, 1 minute and 52 seconds.
Yeah.
That's the total amount of fight time. It's just crazy because I remember we talked before that LFA fight and you had those back-to-back head kick knockouts. And then, of course, what you were able to do there at LFA. Like, how do you describe this 4-fight run you're on right now?
Nothing close, but I think it's pretty spectacular how I'm getting these knockouts. Like, I'm so grateful to God, you know. Like I couldn't ask for a better year, and I'm trying to keep the ball rolling.
Like, was there a point in your career where you realized that you were just naturally gifted with this power?
I knew right away, right when I started, because everyone always told me I hit hard. So I was like, all right, but I wasn't super sharp with the hands, so I just stuck with my wrestling and grappling. But now I have confidence in my feet. Like I think it was more of a mental thing. Once I truly believed that I could stand up with the best in the world, and that's when I started taking off. Like, cause it's all about the preparation and time you put in. And I feel like I finally made it an obsession, doing stand up, and it's been paying off.
Do you remember when that turning point was?
I would say my stand up got cleaner. Start getting clean, like once I went to the MMA lab in Arizona, mm-hmm. And I was just training with such high level guys out there, and you know, you either gonna get your butt kicked every day or you're gonna rise to that level.
You know, and mentioning about this run that you have been on now, I mean, obviously we'll have to see about, you know, the knee injury and if it's going to keep you out. I mean, so is right now, is it just kind of a waiting to see what the MRI says before you kind of figure out, you know, kind of how the roadmap to when the next fight could be?
Yeah, exactly. But if everything's all good, I want to fight either in August or September.
I mean, obviously, are you even thinking about potential opponents at this point, or is the mindset of like, man, I just gotta wait and see?
Yeah, pretty much just wait and see. But like I said, like anyone in the top 10, I feel like I'm truly ready for it.
So now that you do have a chance to celebrate and you know, enjoy the finer foods that you're not having to cut weight, so what's been on the cheat meal list?
Everything. I've been eating so much. Lobster tail, steak, fried chicken. I've been messing it up, man. I'm talking like 180 right now.
In terms of, you know, you mentioned about the various foods, steak. How do we like the steak cook? I'm a medium rare kind of guy.
I'm medium rare as well.
Yeah, it's gotta have some pinkness to it. You can't have that well done thing, man.
Like it puts the flavor in it. You gotta go with medium rare.
Yeah, I'm big on marinating, man. I gotta marinate. Let's sit there for a little bit.
Yeah, most definitely.
Like, as you think about that whole fight week with Phoenix, obviously the crowd was insane. Being in front of fight fans again, was that a little weird in a way for you?
No, I'm like Goku. Like, I get my energy from the crowd, you know, like how he does with the spirit bomb. I'm the same way with the crowd. I swear, I could just feels like it just gives me power. Like, I love the fans, man.
Was it weird for you fighting in front of no fans?
Oh yeah, that was weird to get used to, honestly. Like, at first it was like awkward for me. I was like, oh, it was weird. But now that I did a couple of times, now it's a lot easier. And it's beneficial because you can hear your coaches a lot easier.
Did you feel like it was a gym fight when there was no fans?
Yeah, pretty much, you know. And I was like, I don't have nothing to lose. Like, this is not nerve-wracking at all. Like, there's no one here.
Do you get nervous on fight night?
Not at all. It starts to get built up, but, like, I'm really good at controlling my, like, heart rate. I probably have, like, the lowest heart rate coming up into the cage. That'd be so calm.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that something that you've always had in terms of, you know, all the years of you being in athletics?
Yeah, it's because I competed at the highest level at nationals, FILA nationals. Like, I wrestled at such high-level tournaments, so, like, pretty much nothing new. Like, I feel like God prepared me with every situation I've been in for these moments.
You always hear about, hey, those UFC jitters. Were you kind of standing in there just going, what's everyone talking about? I just feel like this is another day at the office.
Oh, yeah, I knew I belonged. I felt I belonged, and I was ready to get it done.
Was that the first time being in that type of size of cage for you? Was it kind of weird in a way of like, man, there's a lot of room here.
So much cage room. I was like, ooh, this is sick. Like, I was just going to play around. I was going to be like, just keep moving, you know. That cage is super filthy, though. It's like a movie in there. It felt like I was in a video game. It felt unreal.
And, of course, congratulations on the victory, Terrence. I appreciate you coming on the show. Of course, let me know if you can find me on social media. Anything else you want to mention, man?
Everyone follow me, T-Rex155 on Instagram. And also, I got a Twitter as well. It's T-Rex155. And I want to say shout-out to God and shout-out to my family and shout-out to my coach and shout-out to Warrior Camp and my management, Iridium Sports Agency.
Great stuff there from Terrence McKinney. I appreciate him coming on the podcast to talk about his win there at UFC 263, getting a 7-second win over Matt Frivola. And we'll see how that MRI does turn out for Terrence McKinney in terms of his knee injury, if that's an injury that is going to keep him out for any length of time. And definitely a guy that we have to, you know, be paying attention to as a finisher throughout his time in mixed martial arts, just doesn't get out of the first round. But 7-second victory, so interesting to see what happens there coming up next year for Terrence McKinney. Coming up next, you're going to hear my conversation with Arion Zeki, who fights this week at Shamrock FC 329, as he's going to be taking on Dylan Tolbert. This is actually a matchup that was supposed to take place last year, but the event was canceled due to the coronavirus pandemic. So it is now taking place here at Shamrock FC 329. So here's my conversation with Arion Zeki. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man that's going to step inside the Shamrock cage here, coming up here on June the 25th, 6th, Shamrock FC 329. Arion, man, as always, man, appreciate the time. So I had Jesse on the show about 2 weeks ago, and as he was talking about your fight, he's just basically like, well, you know, Arion just doesn't feel that Dylan's on his level. And he goes, these two guys don't like each other. Is that a good way to sum this up?
Yes and no. Like, first, to the first point, yeah, I mean, he's not on my level, and I'll make that, like, painfully clear night of the fight. But when he says, like, we don't like each other, we hate each other, the truth of the matter is, I don't give a shit, like, about him. Does that make sense? Like, the way I would equate it to is, like, you know when, like, a child misbehaves? As an adult, you're kind of like, you're not mad at that child, he just doesn't know. You know what I mean? That's how I feel about Dylan. I can't be mad at him for, like, being stupid or saying stupid shit or, you know, thinking he could beat me. He just doesn't know. So it's, you know, I'll teach him. I'm not mad at him. I don't hate him. He doesn't know what he doesn't know. So unfortunately for him, he'll find out.
Obviously, this fight was supposed to take place last year before the pandemic hit. And, you know, of course, now booked here now. Is there something he said that's just like, I don't know if you'd say piss you off, but kind of you just kind of shake your head about?
He called me a decision guy, which I think is funny because in terms of my finish rate, you know what I mean? I have four wins, right? Two by submission, two by decision. So I have a 50% finish rate. Couple that also with like my amateur career, one of the things that I take great accolades in, I have one loss by split decision. I've never even been close to finished. Meanwhile, Dylan, his whole career has been littered with him either getting fucking knocked out or submitted or what have you. So it's like, dude, shut the fuck up. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Don't ever call me a decision guy. You are garbage, and you don't deserve to have a comment on me or my career. After this loss, you will understand that there is a brick wall between you and the next level, and its name is Arion Zekthi. Thank you for this opportunity. I appreciate you wanting to have this fight. I can't wait to springboard my career off this knockout.
In terms of the last year, what has training looked like for you?
Not shit. To be honest with you, like, what could you have done? I mean, half the gyms were closed. You know, yeah, you can do like some outdoor activities and stuff like that. But I'll be honest with you. I enjoyed the time off. I got back into the gym. So from March of 2020, when the card canceled and like everything just started shutting down, I was with everybody else. Other than like running outside or biking or, you know what I mean, like some mitts with some friends outside, there were no gyms open here in St. Louis. Or at the very least, if they were open, you had to be hush-hush about it, right? But allegedly. So I didn't get back to hard training until like February, March of this year. And what was lucky with that is, you know, I train at Finney's. So the guys who own Shamrock also own the gym. So like I kind of had some foresight into like how are things looking with, you know, St. Louis opening up, St. Charles opening up, and what is like the time frame. Originally, we thought maybe May that got pushed originally we thought like April that got pushed to May, then finally June, you know what I mean? So it was nice. But yeah, I mean, I did a whole lot of just minimals. And then I didn't get back to hard training until about February, March. And it's been a hell of a camp. A hell of a camp.
Just in terms of pushing yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. But I have never had a camp where I've done over 150 rounds of 5-minute goes, small gloves. I've done over 150 rounds of 3-minute goes, kickboxing. I've done so much live rolling, just so much live everything, because the problem is you take a year and a half off and, you know what I mean, you're not the only one, everybody else is. So yeah. Like the ring rust is real for everybody. So you kind of got to just break it off and get back into it. And one of the things I did in this camp was exclusively train with just bigger guys.
Okay.
They're like under 155. I'm not really interested in training with them because they don't push me that much. Not in the gym. So I want to, you know, say thank you to all the guys that are like bigger than me that are willing to train with me. And, you know what I mean? I try to take it to them and they try to take it to me, and it's been good. When I roll and when I go with guys my size, it's like a pleasant surprise. I'm reminded of the range, the height, the strength, because I'm so used to the bigger guys now.
You know, so many guys have told me about of like they use like the last year of to evaluate everything, you know, everything they do to get ready for a fight. Was part of that the evaluation of I need to be rolling, I need to be sparring with bigger guys?
Yeah. So it's weird. If you had, let's say, a pie chart, how do you divvy up technical training, nutrition, cardio, strength and conditioning, and then your live rounds? And then more importantly, within a camp, when do you taper off on the hard rounds? When do you, you know, what are we going to learn in the last 3 weeks before weigh-ins? Are we going to do any more technical training? Like, to understand the facets of training and when to peak and when to hit certain strides, I think is something that comes kind of like through experience. And there is no one size fits all. You might have like an athletic specimen of a man who wants to go hard every day at practice. You know what I mean? You might have some guy who doesn't have the athletic gifts gifted by God, and maybe he wants to do more technical because he knows he's not going to have these physical attributes come fight night. So one of the things that I know about me, it's not that I think, I know that the way I tackle this game, the way I think, how I function, not just in the ring, but in society, is I'm very logical. I try to think of everything kind of like an equation, or how can I better situate myself for success? And unfortunately, and fortunately, it's kind of trial and error. So now that I'm 28 years old, I've had some time to, like you said, sit back in retrospect, think, okay, how do I want to tackle this camp? How do I want to tackle the nutrition? How do I want to tackle all the various elements of training? Everything lined up. I mean, I can honestly say I'm 14 pounds out from weight. So right now I can be 136 pounds next week. I'm right now 150 pounds. I have not cut water. I have not cut food. Mm-hmm. I feel amazing. There are no injuries. Nothing aches. Nothing hurts. I mean, this is like, if you're a fighter, this is like, you know what I mean? Like the stars aligning. I feel amazing. I cannot wait to just get this last week done, get the weight down gradually, make that last cut, and then ready to perform.
Because of things that, Dylan has said in the past, is there part of you that wants to beat him up for 15 minutes?
Okay. Pro and con, right, to both. I would like to go in there, knock him out with the first punch, get out after 10 seconds, right? Mm. They bait by the fight, not by the hour. But I haven't fought in a year and a half, 2 years. So, yeah, I mean, if he's game enough, stay in there. But it's not like if I were to fight him for 15 minutes or if I knocked him out in the first round, that this would somehow be like this back and forth fight where it's like competitive. No, like, it would be me beating the shit out of him for 15 minutes, but then I'm going to finish him. There is no way a caliber of fighter like Dylan Tolbert can go 15 minutes with a caliber fighter like me unless I allowed it to. And make no mistake, if I decide for this fight to go to the third round, that'll be my choice, not his. Mm-hmm. But he's not answering that. Like, this is not going to a decision. He's going to get slept bad.
Jesse mentioned to me, he said he was labeling off fighters that he believes are on the verge of taking the next step of, you know, elevating to that next level. And you were one of the fighters that he mentioned. But because of, you know, the layoff, is there part of you that I need want to get some cage time before I take that step? Or is the mindset of like, look, I get a call after this fight's over, you know, I'm hopping on a plane and taking that fight.
Dude, anytime, anywhere. I'm in shape now. I need, realistically, I need 24 hours notice to make weight. I can make weight tomorrow if I had to. You know what I mean? 14 pounds, it sucks, but I could do it. And, I mean, we could sit here and talk about, like, I would need 6 weeks to get a game plan. The way I train is not for an individual. The way I train is for a skill set that I've developed over the years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've wrestled since I was 13. I've been fighting since I was training in martial arts since I was 18. So I've been doing this longer than I haven't been doing this in my life because I'm 28 years old. I don't train for an individual. I train for my complete skill set. So, yeah, I mean, dude, if we got done with the fight with Dylan and Dana White calls to fight Peter Yan or Aljamain Sterling, of course this would never happen, but I would jump on that opportunity with like a watery mouth. There is no one on this planet that I fear at 135 pounds. There is no fight I would not take if the opportunity made sense. And now this is where we get into it, because we were talking earlier about retrospect and like things. I have no problem, and my mentality has always been, whoever's in my way, I don't care, I'll fight anybody, give me the best you got. Mm-hmm. The end of my amateur career, I bumped up to 145 to fight a killer and then take some belts because I had cleaned out the 135 division here locally. Then I went pro, and my first debut, or my pro debut, was against a guy who was 5-3, 4-1, 4-1, undefeated, 5-2. So the reason I bring that up is there are a lot of fighters right now, if you go on Tapology, that are ranked above me. Perhaps they have 5-0 records, 6-0 records, 6-1 records. You look at the strength of schedule that they have compared to someone like me. I've done my hard fights. Mm-hmm. I've fought those killers in the local area, and I am the biggest fish in a small pond. So now I'm not trying to, no offense, but I'm not trying to fight the undefeated guy in a local show. Yeah. I want to fight the savages in front of the people that will get me to the UFC, or preferably fight the savages in front of Dana or in front of the UFC. That's what I want. I will take any fight on this planet, but I don't want to feel like I'm getting nowhere for taking it. You know what I mean? What's the point of winning a fight and then being nowhere like closer to the goal? The goal is the UFC. The goal is, I'm 28 years old. I'm not getting any older or younger. I need to stop wasting my time.
Of course, we look forward to seeing this matchup here. Shamrock FC 329. Arianna, as always, man, appreciate the time. Of course, let everyone know you can find on social media. Anything else you want to mention, man?
Are you going to interview Dylan?
They have not asked me yet.
Interview him. And when you interview him, tell him I called him like, hey, Arianna said you're a pussy.
I will mention that if it is set up, Arianna, man. I appreciate the time, man. Hey,
this ain't my words. This is Arion said it. You can say it that way. You know what I mean? Let him know. Let him know I'm coming. Let him know that he's going to get fucked up.
And that was my conversation with Arion Zeki. I appreciate him taking some time out of his work day to talk to me about his matchup coming up here this week at Shamrock FC 329. And a very candid message there at the end of that interview from Arion Zeki. And I'm sure Dylan Tolbert will probably hear that in some form or another leading up to this matchup. Of course, if you want to get a preview of Shamrock FC 329, head over to themareport.com or the MMA Report YouTube channel. You can watch the interview that I did with Jesse Finney, the CEO of Shamrock FC, previewing both of their fight cards coming up here this week there in Missouri. One thing I want to mention before I get out of here on this edition of the podcast is I'm actually recording this here on Saturday, June the 19th. Of course, show comes out on June the 20th, and I know saw a tweet that mentioned about how we are now at the 7-year anniversary of Scott Coker taking over as president of Bellator. And my first thought is, wow, man, 7 years has really flown by. The fact that Scott's always has been running Bellator that length of time. But you know, really, when I think about 7 years ago when he took over, just I remember kind of waking up that morning and and kind of hearing things. And I remember, I'll tell you, right, but a couple of days before that, I had spoken to Bjorn Rebney, and and there were some rumors out there, and he had told me, he's like, man, Jay, man, nothing's going on, I'm running things here. And me and Daniel mentioned, if there was ever like a dark side of the cage, an MMA version of Dark Side of the Ring, that the end of the Bjorn Rebney and the start of Scott Coker era, I think, would be a very interesting kind of how all that played out in terms of that. And, and obviously Bellator is in a much better place. Interesting note on Bellator. I saw a report on Twitter that Combate America is going to have English versions of their show on CBS Sports Network. And the tweet mentioned about potentially a co-promotion between Bellator and Combate. And this was my thought on that, is what is Combate offering Bellator for a co-promotion? I didn't understand that. I sat back and I was like, I just don't see what Combate really could offer Bellator. But in terms of, for me as a cord cutter, who I have YouTube TV and I do not have access to Univision or the cable network that Combate is on, them be going to CBS Sports Network, if that's true, is very good for me. The ability to watch Combate America, of course, I'll tell you, I was going through the Mixed Martial Arts Registry with upcoming events. And I mean, Combate has got a ton of events coming up over the next couple months, doing those studio shows down in Miami at the Univision studio. So, and of course, they've been trying to do some different things with tournaments and one night tournaments and things along those lines. So kind of interested to see how Combate does move forward. Yeah. Just wish the man running Combate America would tweet more about his fighters as opposed to what his television ratings are. But that is going to do it for this edition of the MMA Report podcast. Of course, new episodes come out every Sunday and every Wednesday on your favorite podcasting platform, along with RadioInfluence.com and TheMMAReport.com. Of course, coming up on Wednesday's episode, myself and Daniel will take a look back at UFC Vegas 29, the Korean Zombie versus Dan Ige. Also, we will look ahead to the UFC card coming up this weekend, of course, headlined by the heavyweight matchup there. So we'll talk about that. So that's going to do it for this edition of the MMA Report podcast. Of course, a great way to show your support of this podcast is by checking out all of our sponsors. You can check that out over at themmareport.com.